picked it up. He said, I wish I'd have been down there at that rally last night. I'd have give Dan Suchek a piece of my mind. And when he spoke, I sort of figured he was a homosexual. And, I mean, it is the way he was talking. So, I said, you would, why is that? And he was mad about it, you know. And so I talked to him a few minutes, and I was glad I got to talk to him, and maybe that gave him some things to think about. But now, there's a lot of people really up in arms. There's a controversy about this. I went to the Watauga Democrat website, and if you don't think people don't hate God, you go to this article, and you read what people have posted underneath that. And there's a lot of animosity and there's a lot of hatred. And even this fella, he didn't have, that I talked to today, he didn't have good arguments for his point. He was calling things stupid and all of this stuff, you know, slurs. And that shouldn't be how we decide things, is by who has the hottest temper. But, for example, the church... You know, I've been talking about this on the radio. And in the next month, we're going to have about 200 ads on WATA and WMMY that's asking people and saying from the Bible what a biblical definition of marriage is, and that encouraging people to vote for this. This is something that Christian people ought to want to vote for. And so you, being a member of Mount Lebanon, you are very likely going to run into somebody that doesn't agree with the biblical standpoint. So I came up with this. I wanted to keep it to one page and just sort of go over some things so you would have something in your hand and maybe give you some things that you could talk about or share with somebody else about. And so that's what I wanted to do tonight. Now, another example of how controversial this is, some of you may have noticed that in the Democrat, there are some churches that are taking out ads that are against this marriage amendment. The Boone Unitarian Universalist Fellowship has had ads for several weeks now. And here's a married couple. It says another legally married couple voting against North Carolina constitutional amendment on the ballot May the 8th, 2012. Well, Sister Sherry Norris, who I think very highly of, she works at the Democrat, and she has, on the weekend edition, she has that faith article. Well, she contacted me and asked me if I would write an article concerning this thing. So today, for probably 4 or 5 hours, I worked on an article. I wrote it. I sent it in to her and everything. And she wrote me back by the end of the day and said that she apologized that there was a lot of controversy concerning this and she didn't know if she'd be able to use it or not. Her higher-ups had sort of, you know, said whatever about it but didn't want to use it or might not use it. So I ask you as a church, and I meant to mention this before we prayed, just pray if it is the Lord's will for this to be in the newspaper, that it would be in the newspaper. And Brother Derek Wilson, he went down to the Democrat, and he wanted to put a picture of his church family. He'd got them all together and was going to put a picture. Here's a church that's for this. And he said they were giving him a hard time about that, and that I think the way he explained it to me was that they had told him that everybody in that picture would have to fill out a form, and, you know, they didn't act like they really wanted to do that. But he was going to find out more about that. So pray about this article. I wrote it, and I told Sister Sherry, you know, that we'd pray about it, and if it's the Lord's will, he'll make a way. But if not, I'll distribute it otherwise. So there's a lot. We need to be much in prayer because there's much opposition to this from the devil's crowd. And I don't mean that in a mean way, but I mean just in a realistic biblical way. The devil would love to have the state of North Carolina as a same-sex marriage state, because North Carolina is the only state of all the southern states that does not have a constitutionally protected definition of marriage in our Constitution. And every state that it's been brought up in, it has passed. It didn't always pass the first time, and they said last night the reason it didn't pass the first time is that Christian people were complacent and just said, well, that's just common sense. Everybody will vote for that. Now, the liberal crowd is fighting hard against this. So God's people, we need to be fighting hard for this. And so North Carolina is the only southern state, but there are 30 states that have this type of language in their constitution, and it's been put to the voters. There's 6 states in America that have same-sex marriage as a law. And Massachusetts is one, Iowa is one, I think Vermont, I don't think I can remember all of them, but 6 of them. And the way that it's been made into law is the legislators have just, they've took it upon themselves, or the state has been sued and a judge has made the decision. And so we don't want that to happen in North Carolina. So this is a good thing. Now, for me personally, the thing that matters the most is what the Bible says. And like I said, you've got this before you tonight. What does the Bible have to say about it? A lot of people says, well, the Bible says. But that really, really doesn't carry any weight unless you can actually go to what the Bible says and show somebody what the Bible says. And so a lot of people says, well, I know it's in there, but I just don't know where. Well, here you have it. This is where it is in the Bible. This is the key passages of Scripture that I would go to show somebody that marriage is non-negotiable when it comes to the Word of God. And first of all, Genesis chapter 2, verse 23 through 24. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. You see the biblical pattern there. Father, mother, wife. Man, wife, and I know I don't have to go into that in great detail tonight, but that is the, God gave Adam Eve, not Steve. We all know that, but I will go there first of all, and then I will go secondly, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And so God said to male and female that he had created to go and be fruitful and multiply. And so there are those that would like to redefine marriage and say it's, well, it's just two adults. Don't matter, man, woman, woman, or any variation of that. But only in marriage can you have reproduction. And so God made man this way. And if everybody was that way, there would be no more people upon the earth. God created man to reproduce. And so only male and female are able to do that. Now, number 3 is significant because this is what Jesus had to say about marriage when he was asked about marriage. Now, he wasn't asked about what we're talking about, but he was asked something about marriage, and this is his answer. And this is significant. This is what Jesus Christ had to say about marriage. And Jesus said, Mark chapter 10, verse 6, but from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. Now, he is quoting Genesis chapter number 1 and chapter number 2. Because some people, they'll say, well, that Genesis chapter 1, that's a myth. But Jesus quoted from the beginning. And so that's significant. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh, so then they are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And so Jesus Christ himself went back to these verses in Genesis and quoted from it. That's significant. What does the Lord think about it? Anybody that claims to be a Christian ought to be concerned what the Lord says about it. So there's what the Lord says about it. Then on the other side of the coin, we might say, there's Leviticus. And just turn with me to Leviticus chapter 18. Let me point out a few things. This is probably the most well-known passage of Scripture in the Bible that has to do with the subject of what we're talking about. And it just simply says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. And you know what that's talking about. But I would like for you, when you get home, to read all of Leviticus chapter number 18. Because it's talking about relationships. And there's a lot of good information you can get out of it just by sitting down and reading the whole chapter. But look at verse number 20. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. That's talking about adultery. Verse 21. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. And what he's talking about there in verse number 21, he's talking about where they would have child sacrifices. And the image of Molech was a great stone or brass image. And just like in Elijah's day when they prayed to Baal, what they would do, they'd build a fire under that idol. And that idol had his arms stretched out, and they'd build a fire under that idol. And to worship Molech, they would bring their babies, and they would lay their babies in the arms of Molech, and they would burn up their child sacrifice on the altar of Molech. They would offer their seed up on the altar of Molech. And you know, I've taught about this before. Behind every idol is a demon. Demons receive worship through objects. And so we're talking about devil worship. In verse number 21, God said, don't do it. Do not worship the devil. Verse number 22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Verse 23, neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. I read an article in the Winston-Salem Journal just a couple of months ago about a man who had been arrested for doing that very thing that it's talking about in verse number 23. Don't think these things don't still go on today. And the reason I read these verses is just to show you here tonight what homosexuality is surrounded by in the Bible is gross wickedness. And there's people say, well, what's it matter what two adults do? Well, would it matter if they were doing what is in verse number 21? Would it matter if they were doing what, you know, verse number 21 would be against the law and somebody'd be arrested over offering their child as a sacrifice. If somebody was involved in what verse number 23 is talking about, they would be arrested. The crime against nature is what it's labeled as. So you see, birds of a feather flock together, and what something is surrounded around tells us a lot about how God feels about that. So we've got child sacrifice, we've got homosexuality, we've got bestiality. Said verse 24, defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. God judges nations for these sins. And God will judge our nation for these same sins. And it goes on down. He says, I cast out the nations before you for doing these very things. Don't do that. That's why Christians say that this brings about the judgment of God upon a nation because of what the Bible says. So these are all important. Verse number 30 says, "Therefore shall ye keep mine ordinance, that ye commit not any one of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that ye defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God." Now, the gentleman that I talked to today that was upset about it, he felt like that that the Constitution should protect his decisions. But I told him, I said, that is a moral decision, is it not? If you choose to be a homosexual, you've made a moral decision to do that. And he said, yeah, I'd agree. I said, well, what if I had to make a moral decision that I would like to marry a 10-year-old girl? That'd be all right. That's a moral decision. Should the Constitution protect? Oh, he said, no, that's stupid. He said, that's something Rick Santorum would say. That's stupid. I said, well, I used to live in Idaho and Utah, and I said, there's men out there that have two wives and three wives. What if that was my decision? I wanted to have two wives. Would that be all right? See, some people's thinking don't go too far. You know, if you allow one thing, then the next thing has to be allowed, and the next thing has to be allowed, and the next thing be allowed. And so, then there's Romans chapter number 1. That's where it talks about being turned over to a reprobate mind. The women did abuse themselves against themselves and all that language. And 1 Corinthians 6:9-10 says, "Neither effeminate nor fornicators nor abusers of themselves with mankind shall inherit the kingdom of God." And so some people says, well, you're saying they all go to hell. And that's not what we're saying. If you read on down, it says, "But such were some of you." God can save adulterers and fornicators and drunkards and all of these people. We're not saying nobody. Just what the Word of God says. So that's the key passages I would refer to, and I'd encourage everybody to read them. And then this might be handy for you. Underneath that, it says, this is how it is on the ballot. When you go to vote, this is how it reads. And I took it right off of the ballot. It says, "Constitutional amendment to provide that marriage between one man and one woman is the only domestic legal union that shall be valid or recognized in this state." And it's either going to be for or against. And I don't know how many people are confused on this, but there's a lot. If you want to vote for marriage, you're going to be for this. And there's a lot that are against it. But that's pretty self-explanatory. And I've heard all kinds of things. And there's a lot of misinformation out there. So that is exactly how it will be worded on the ballot. And then, underneath that, it says the proposed amendment would be added to Article 14, this is in the North Carolina Constitution. It would read as follows. This is how it's going to read. Section 6, marriage. "Marriage between one man and one woman is the only domestic legal union that shall be valid or recognized in this state. This section does not prohibit a private party from entering into contracts with another private party, nor does this section prohibit courts from adjudicating the rights of private parties pursuant to such contracts." And so, I've put underneath this, as you can see, this is about marriage. That's what this amendment is about. It's about marriage. It's about a legal definition of marriage being in our Constitution. It is not, I've heard all kinds of things. It's not about hospital visits. Who can you visit in the hospital? I've had people say, well, if my partner was sick, that would mean if you can go visit your partner now, you'd be able to go visit your partner then. It's got nothing to do with that. It's not what it's about. But people, they even people that's supposed to be Christian people, they lose their mind sometimes, and they'll believe a lie quicker than they'll believe the truth. I've had people tell me, well, this, what if my, that ain't, if you can go to the hospital now, you can go to the hospital then. It's got nothing to do with that. It's not about hospital visits. It's not about visitation rights. One of the lawyers explained last night that got up and talked that it was specifically designed not to interfere with parental rights, visitation rights. Whatever visitation rights somebody can have right now, they'll have them rights then. This is not about children visiting their parents. It's not about domestic violence matters. Just be honest. If you beat up somebody and they call the police, you're going to be in trouble. Don't matter what the laws are. It's against the law to be violent and to beat on people and all of those things. But I've heard people say, well, that means that's not what it's about. It's not about employee-employer relationships. And there's some people that, of course, they want everybody to be taken care of, insured, et cetera, et cetera. But now that's a Democrat-Republican thing. That has nothing to do with this. That's Obamacare or something they're talking about. And I put, to argue that this legislates morality is baseless because all laws do that. That's what that guy said to me today. He said, well, you shouldn't legislate morality, but every law in the books legislates morality. Thou shalt not kill. And I asked him that. I said, well, that's legislating morality. What if I want to shoot somebody? That's legislated morality. That's somebody telling me I can't do something I might want to do. We all do. Every law. Drunk driving is legislating morality. Stealing, thou shalt not steal. That's legislating morality. And so don't let these people come along with this crooked argument that you're trying to legislate morality. Because all laws legislate morality. And all laws are discriminatory in one respect or another. You know, you can't vote till you're 18. I'm sorry. You young people are being discriminated against right now as we speak. You cannot vote till you're 17. That's the law. That's discrimination. And so that doesn't hold water. Good government promotes good laws. And so that argument doesn't hold water. Moral choices are not constitutionally protected rights. If somebody, and I asked, and the fellow brought this up, you know, that this was his right. I said, well, can't you be a homosexual now if you want to be? And he said, well, yeah, I can if I want to be, but now if I want to get married and enjoy all the other. The Constitution is not designed to protect moral choices. It's designed to protect life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for all. And so moral choices are not constitutionally protected rights. And then I put, you will hear all kinds of reasons why this is not a good thing. Facts are, and this is facts we're dealing with, facts are that same-sex marriage is already against the law in North Carolina. And I've got a reference down there. It's been that way since 1996. They passed a specific law concerning this. It says this amendment is important because it will help ensure that it stays that way by enshrining the definition of traditional marriage into our North Carolina Constitution. And so I want you to have this and be able to take it home with you tonight. And if you want to find out more information about it, two good websites, voteformarriagenc.com. and massresistance.org. And that Mass Resistance is a group in Massachusetts that talks about what has happened in Massachusetts since they have allowed or since they've legalized this same-sex marriage. And there's some stuff on there that's not fit for anybody to read, but especially young people. Because what has gone on in the schools will make you sick. And so I want you to have that and be aware of what's going on, because somebody might ask you, is that your pastor on the radio? Is your church really behind that? And so the Bible says that we ought to be able to give an answer to every man concerning the hope that's within us. Now, does anybody have any questions? Or maybe, and I wanted to try to be short tonight and give this to you, because I wanted to give opportunity if anybody had any questions. Anybody? Man, woman, child.
I've got a comment that I think there's enough people in the state of North Carolina to vote for this, but if it goes in, it'll be
Right. Right. The pastor last night, Brother Creech, he said that in order for this to pass, the Christian community was going to have to do it. And so that's us. And we need to be active. And I'm not politicking, because this is a moral issue. And somebody said, well, we don't need the Republicans telling us how to conduct our married lives, but in order for this to get on the constitutional, in order for it to get on the ballot, it had to be a majority of the House and the Senate. There's a lot of Democrats voted for it too, so it's not. And some people says, well, the church ought to stay out of it. Well, there's a lot of liberal churches that are promoting the other way. And so if one can't say anything, the other shouldn't be able to say anything. So anybody else? Well, the pastor that talked last night, Brother Creech, he is a lobbyist, a registered lobbyist. There's an organization called the Christian Action Legislation. And so he's a lobbyist. He lives in Raleigh, and he said he's seen this all the time. He said the alcohol people, the gambling people, he said, you name it, mentioned all these things. He said they've got lobbyists, they've got money, they are urgent about what they're doing, and they get in there and they get stuff done. They get stuff passed what they want passed. He said, but Christian people lack urgency, passion, conviction. He said, and that's why this stuff comes in unopposed many times. So anybody else?